You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am especially honored and thrilled to introduce you to today's very special guest. She's an author, an artist, a ministry leader. She's a writer and a speaker whose life story and words have inspired millions, and she has been an advocate for people with disabilities internationally and has founded and been chief executive of Johnny and Friends, such an important ministry. I'm talking about Johnny Erickson Tada, who joins us now. Johnny, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thanks, Brian, so much, and special greetings to all your listeners today.
Well, thank you. Well, you have many friends and fans here in Oklahoma, of which I am a huge fan of your works. And many of our listeners, Johnny, are familiar with your story, how God has worked in your life, how a diving accident in 1967, when you were 17 years of age, left you in a quadriplegic state without use of your hands and placed you in a wheelchair, but how God, in the face of these challenges, has enabled you to create inspiring works of art and writing and speaking, founding a ministry that has blessed so many. And now we hear that you actually have a new devotional coming out in 2017. And as we reflect on your decades of ministry, I thought you could start by maybe telling us about this book and some things the Lord has been doing as you write it.
Well, I cannot believe that I'm coming up soon on 49 years in this wheelchair. In fact, on July 30th, that's what it'll be, 49 years.
Wow.
It's amazing. And when I look back on all that God has taught me, all that He has led me through, not only my struggles to come to grips with my own quadriplegia, but a daily battle with chronic pain, and also a battle against stage 3 cancer, I'm just constantly amazed, Brian, at the graciousness of God in providing me strength, not just to get through it, not just to plow through it, not just to put one foot in front of the other and, you know, muster my way forward. No, he's given me grace to smile, not in spite of the problems, but because of them. And to be honest, Brian, I'm constantly learning new things from my studies of God's Word. He uses my affliction to open my eyes to the glories of His gospel. So all this new stuff I've put down in my new book called A Spectacle of Glory. May I tell you a little bit about the title?
Would love to.
Well, there is this passage of Scripture in Exodus where Moses approaches a burning bush, and he utters this comment that struck me. He says, Why is this bush not burned up? And I read a commentary that John Newton had penned on that particular passage. And John Newton said, you know, Christians who suffer and suffer valiantly, suffer courageously. They are burning bushes that cause all those around them to look on and wonder, why is this bush not burned up? And so Christians who suffer affliction become this spectacle of God's glory, of God's grace, causing other people to wonder, how do you do it? How come you're not burned up? And so I thought that was a fitting title for this book, because so many of the insights and principles, so many of the reflections on God's Word are born out of affliction. And you don't have to be a quadriplegic. You don't have to be a cancer survivor or a sufferer. You don't have to live with chronic pain to identify with the vignettes in this special devotional. Although it's a 366-day devotional, the vignettes are short, easy to read. The concepts, I believe, I've written to make them easy to grasp. And it's my prayer that our listeners will just be blessed by it. So thank you for letting me talk about it.
Well, we're very excited to hear that. That's a powerful illustration. I love that. And you've just spoken such hope to so many. And you've also stood forth on some difficult issues. There was one column you had recently that just really spoke deeply to me. Many might be familiar with the romantic movie that came out, Me Before You. It dominated the box office. It was based on a best-selling book. And it told the story about a young man who became disabled and started having thoughts of his life not being worth living. And the movie ended up celebrating and glamorizing assisted suicide. It painted a negative picture of people with disabilities that was very bleak and unfortunate. And you took this on. Can you respond to the movie and tell us constructive ways to speak into that when a cultural moment like this comes?
Well, let me describe to you the final scenes of this movie, Me Before You. It shows the lead character, Will, as you said, a quadriplegic who became injured in a motorcycle accident. And he falls in love with this winsome, happy girl who adores him, with or without his disability. And yet he cannot overcome the fact that he thinks his life is not worth living. So in the last couple of scenes, we see Will wheel up to a suicide clinic in Switzerland. His parents had brought him there, and he checks himself into this suicide hotel, as it were, and has assisted death performed on him. He's given a lethal dose of drugs to end his life. And I looked at that and thought, oh my goodness, his parents are calling this a courageous decision. And in fact, many of his friends in the movie talk about what a courageous decision it was. But what would have been really courageous is if Will had wheeled up to the front door of that clinic, took a long, hard look at it, and then turned his wheelchair around and went back to Great Britain, where he came from, and continued to live out his life with his family, with his friends, and with this young girl who was so in love with him. The movie tries to redefine courage. As I said, several people in the film call his decision courageous for ending his life. But the truth is, he would have shown much more courage, real courage, had he faced his hardships and moved forward into life.
We continue to see society tearing away at the fabric of life and only valuing certain people. And you have stood in the gap and talked about the dignity of all human life, helping us to see as God sees. You know, Johnny, I actually admire you and your family, your husband, very much. Speaking of marriages, got to see an interview with you. It was, I think, from 1983. You and Ken were honeymooners. It was at a Billy Graham event. And you just had the most engaging discussion about how God brought you together. And then the immediate video I saw after that was you decades later talking about marriage and life and the joys and the challenges and the setbacks. And we are in a mess with marriage today, inside the church, outside the church. What pearls of wisdom, Johnny, can you share with us about marriage along these themes of love and hope and overcoming? What thoughts would you have?
Well, thank you for mentioning my marriage. I wish my husband, Ken Tata, were here to also be interviewed. And I must say, Brian, as a quadriplegic who has been married to a great guy for nearly 34 years, I can say for certain that my husband and I have a deep and satisfying relationship, now get this, mostly because of my severe disability, not in spite of my disability, but because of my disability. The Bible says that God's power shows up best in weakness. And boy, there are a lot of opportunities for one to experience great weakness in marriage. Unmet expectations, bruised feelings, the inability to meet each other's needs. I mean, things like that can either rip a marriage apart, or if we hold on fast to God's grace, it can draw a couple together, teaching them patience, teaching them self-sacrifice, what true life priorities really are, what it means to put the other's interests first before your own. It can teach endurance, respect, joy, even when, and especially when, times are hard. You know, it's a skeptical, cynical world out there that right now hates Christians and hates Christian marriage and all that Christian marriage stands for. And God wants to raise up couples, men and women, who really will love each other for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. Not just to say those vows as though they were a part of a formality on your wedding day, but to really believe them and commit yourself to them, to hold fast to the convictions that you make when you first get married. And if our unbelieving, skeptical, cynical world could only see Christians in their marriage support one another, extol one another, defer to one another, mutually submit to one another, rejoice in each other, applaud each other's gifts, bear with each other's weaknesses. Oh, my goodness, that would so validate our Christian testimony. It would so prove the effectiveness of the gospel in our lives.
Amen. That's so well said. You know, you mentioned a moment ago the 49 years, and you mentioned this milestone for you. Reflecting on the decades of ministry God has equipped you to do, what are some pearls of wisdom or maybe one thought you could say to that person, and particularly maybe a young person who's setting out in life as they are trying to spread their wings and they're a believer and entering into the world? Could you speak a word of hope to someone maybe in that state?
Well, I will share a word of hope that might be hard to hear, and that is, God wired this world to be difficult. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be challenging. But let's take heart and remember that God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. In other words, God takes no delight in your deep disappointment or the divorce that your family went through. He takes no delight in the recent medical diagnosis that projects nothing but bad news for your future. He takes no delight in chronic pain or a botched surgery gone bad. He takes no delight in these things, but he permits them in our lives to accomplish something far more precious, and that is a refined faith, stretched hope, a healthy hatred of sin in your life, a desire to draw closer to Christ in fellowshipping and sharing with his sufferings, a more buoyant interest in his word, a deeper, more lively prayer life. I mean, these are all the things that God is after in our lives. But sometimes we're not naturally inclined to cultivate those disciplines. We, for the most part, don't have any interest in those disciplines. But suddenly, God permits what he hates, some suffering, some hardship, some heartache, and it becomes a sheepdog snapping at your heels, driving you down the road to Calvary, where otherwise you would not be humanly inclined to go. So that's my hard but hopeful word. God wired this world to be difficult, but don't worry, God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. So hold on to the hope of the gospel, the hope of Christ in your life and all that he provides through his resurrection and death, and be outfitted to face your future with confidence and great joy, because God is in control, and he's up to something really good in your life.
Amen. Thank you for that. You know, Johnny, your books, your devotionals, your articles, your radio show, your speeches, your presentations, your ministry are just so inspiring, and I would encourage anyone to go to johnnyandfriends.org to check out more about what you're doing and what God is equipping you to do and come alongside that, and I know many Oklahoma Baptists do. And I want to ask you how we can pray for you, but one thing you said just a moment ago made me think of C.S. Lewis's talking about pain being God's megaphone, how he just speaks so clearly to us. And I think the testimony you've given just today is really, those really are pearls of wisdom. Johnny, how can we pray for you here in Oklahoma?
Well, Brian, I am an old quadriplegic. What can I say? I've been in this wheelchair for so long. And it is quite amazing, even miraculous, that I am in the good health that I am in. That is such a huge blessing from God. And Brian, I will tell you, I absolutely love what I do. I love our ministry. I love being a part of taking wheelchairs around the world to needy disabled people and delivering Bibles and giving the gospel of Jesus, the salvation message of Christ. I love holding retreats for special needs families all across the United States, 27 this summer, and 17 in developing nations. I love that. And all the other things that we do at Johnny and Friends, our Cause for Life internships, I love these vibrant young interns these young Christian leaders who come and serve with us at our ministry. I love this. And so I would just ask our friends listening to please pray that I might finish well, that I might not do something really stupid to mess it up at the end of my life, that I might remain healthy and fit, that God might grant me good health to just keep getting up in the morning despite the chronic pain and despite the big inconvenience of quadriplegia, to be able to keep getting up in the morning and serving him in the way I so love doing. That would be a wonderful prayer to pray on my behalf.
Amen. We sure will. We've been talking to Johnny Erickson Tata, author, artist, Christian ministry leader. Go to johnnyandfriends.org to find out more about her works, her writings, her art, her beautiful art that you can look at and just see the truth and beauty and goodness of God. Johnny, we so much appreciate you coming on the program today. We'll be looking for that A Spectacle of Glory devotional as it releases and encourage all of our listeners to get hold of that. And please give our best to Ken, and thank you for sharing that marriage advice as well. Johnny, thank you for coming on the program.
Absolutely, Brian, and thanks to all of our listeners today as well.
Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.